You know, many times I have asked you to raise your hands in priestly blessing. And at the very end of this service, I'm going to ask you to do that again as I seek your blessing as I go. And I want that to be a reminder to you as I leave that God has not only blessed you and called you, God has also given each one of you the awesome power and the awesome responsibility of announcing God's blessing to one another and to your neighbors and to the world.
Hello, and thanks for choosing to listen to this sermon from Evanston's Emmanuel Lutheran Church. For the past 4.5 years, we've been most fortunate to have Pastor Keith Fry lead our services and guide and shepherd the congregation. Under Pastor Keith, Emmanuel has grown to be more varied, inclusive, and welcoming. His sermons have inspired, and our weekly attendance has grown. So thanks, Pastor Keith, for leading us into our next chapter, and God be with you on yours. And now let's listen to Pastor Keith's final sermon from Emmanuel Lutheran Church, which happens Sunday, February 2nd, 2020.
Please be seated. And grace to you and peace from God, the parent who delights in us, and from Christ Jesus, in whom we find the way of blessing. Amen. It's really hard to know what to preach on your last Sunday. Today's the Feast of the Presentation, the day on which we remember the child Jesus being presented to God in the temple in Jerusalem. And it's not often that the actual feast falls on a Sunday and that you get to do those readings that include the wonderful story with elderly Simeon holding the child Jesus in his arms and singing, "Now, Lord, you let your servant go in peace," and declaring that Jesus will be a light to the nations. We already had the bulletin done for that, and I had a sermon all planned in which I would encourage you to continue being light and hope for this community and would bid each of you farewell, saying, "Now, Lord, you let your servant go in peace." But then this week, as I studied, I noticed that the normal readings for this Sunday so perfectly encapsulate the central themes of my preaching among you over these past 4.5 years that I simply couldn't pass them up. So we redid the bulletin, thank you, Jane, and I redid my sermon. Those themes are too important to pass up, and they're themes that I hope you have heard me speaking so frequently. Those themes of good news and blessing, of God's delight in us, of the centrality of the cross that reveals to us God's upside-down kingdom, this God who is hidden under the lowest and the most ordinary of circumstances, who chooses to become one of us. And finally, the importance of loving kindness, seeking justice, and walking humbly with God. So first, good news and blessing. In the passage from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount that we heard, we normally call that the Beatitudes. Jesus is just slathering blessings all over the place. It's funny, though, that's usually not how we hear it. When we listen to the Beatitudes, we often do not really hear them as good news. We often hear them instead as requirements for receiving blessing, not as the blessing itself. So, for example, when I hear, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God," I think, "Oops, I haven't had very pure thoughts or motives. I need to become more pure." Or if I hear, blessed are the peacemakers. I start thinking about how I have not been adequately committed to making peace in the world, and so I began to feel guilty, and I resolved to do better next time. So we tend to hear the Beatitudes as commandments or laws or rules for Christian living, and there is in that an implied exchange. You first must measure up to God's standard, and then God will bless you. So let's go with that for a minute. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you. See, we've run into a problem right away, because those are not things that we choose to do. Those are things that just happen to us. And when we start looking at the meanings of some of the other words in this passage and come to realize that what we normally translate it as blessed are the poor in spirit, which we tend to think means having some kind of saintly air of humility, can actually be understood to mean blessed are those who have almost lost hope, those who are just barely hanging on. Or that blessed are the meek can just as easily mean blessed are the powerless. We suddenly realize that these are not things that Jesus is telling us we need to do. These are things we don't want to be. Some of them may be great virtues and things that disciples of Jesus will seek to live out, but you cannot create a, dare I say it, quid pro quo out of these words of Jesus. He's not setting up requirements or terms for acquiring blessings for ourselves. He's not saying, do this and you will be blessed. He's simply announcing blessing. The blessing he's announcing isn't conditional. It doesn't depend on our actions. It already is. Jesus doesn't say, you will be blessed if and only if you do these things. He says, you are blessed even now. You are favored by God even now. And you know what? There's even better coming, because the kingdom of heaven has come near to you. And note this, he's blessing all kinds of people, not just worthy people. He's blessing all kinds of hurting and vulnerable and down and out, bottom of the heap people, people who are feeling crushed by what is happening to them in their lives, people who are mourning, people who feel powerless or actually are powerless. And he also blesses people who are struggling to live faithful lives, but who are finding that it's hard and uncomfortable and sometimes painful and costly. He declares all of them blessed and favored by God, and announces to them the good news of what God's inbreaking kingdom is going to bring. So why would Jesus proclaim blessing that way? I think maybe because he wants us to understand that it's precisely in the unexpected places in our lives and to the most unexpected people by the world standards that God shows up with blessing and mercy. God's reign is upside down from everything we expect. God shows up proclaiming blessing to the poor and to the grieving, when we expect it to be for the rich and the celebrating. God shows up to honor the gentle and the peacemakers rather than the strong and the victorious folks that we prefer to honor. That's not where we look for God, is it? We expect God in the triumphant, in the successful, and instead, God regularly chooses to show up in the opposite. announcing blessing and good news to the weak and the vulnerable, to those considered foolish by the world. And as 1 Corinthians declares, it is precisely in the weakness and foolishness of the cross that we find the hidden God who is working to redeem everything that God has created. So why do we want to set the Beatitudes up as commandments or rules rather than blessings? I think many of us have a hard time believing that God really even wants to bless us in the first place. Many of us have learned a distorted image of God as a stern and demanding lawgiver. And we've somehow decided that it is out of character for God to bless us without requirement. We have a really hard time letting go of that, in spite of everything else that Scripture proclaims to us about God's faithful love and mercy and grace and forgiveness. Or maybe even if we do know about God's grace, we still don't truly believe that we're worthy of it. We know our failings and our limitations. We know all of our faults and our weaknesses. And knowing ourselves this intimately, we find it hard to believe that God could love us unconditionally, could actually bless us without us even meriting it. We live in a conditional, transactional world, one in which we pay for everything, one in which if we do not toe the line, we pay the consequences. And so the notion that God could behave differently and shower us with blessing apart from anything we have done, earned, or deserved is disturbing to us and maybe even inconceivable. But that is the good news of Jesus. God blesses us and honors us extravagantly, promiscuously, in spite of who we are, in the middle of the worst circumstances that life can dish out. God blesses the weak. God blesses those the world considers foolish. And God has chosen to bless us, in fact, through the foolishness and the weakness of the cross. God's way of blessing makes no sense to us. It's not an economic exchange. It's not a reward. It is a gift. Pure gift. Now, I say that God has no requirement for blessing us, but the prophet Micah does say that God demands something of us. But note that this requirement is stated only after a total repudiation of the idea of trying to pay God off with our offerings and our sacrifices. God asks only this: to seek and do justice, to love loving kindness, and to walk humbly with God. God demands this only because God knows that this is what is good for us, that this is where we will find our happiness and our blessing. And as a loving parent, God wants to train us in the things that are going to bring us happiness. Will we stumble and fall and fail to do this? Absolutely. But the desire to seek justice, the desire to love kindness and to walk humbly, and the ability to do that is given to each of us by God's Holy Spirit as we daily seek to be converted to walk in God's ways. And there is always mercy, always pardon when we fail and turn to God seeking to do better. That is the path that we are on, sisters and brothers. That is our journey. And growing faith leads us more and more along that path. We are blessed by God. But we are also called and gifted by God's Spirit to be blessing to others, and to bless others as the priestly people of God, declaring God's love and delight to all people as promiscuously as God does. You know, as pastor, I do not have some special power to bless that is not also your power. As Bishop Miller said to me at my ordination, ordination doesn't give you the magic blue gas. You, the people of God, are priests. You are authorized and commanded to bless. You know, many times I have asked you to raise your hands in priestly blessing. And at the very end of this service, I'm going to ask you to do that again as I seek your blessing as I go. And I want that to be a reminder to you as I leave that God has not only blessed you and called you, God has also given each one of you the awesome power and the awesome responsibility of announcing God's blessing to one another and to your neighbors and to the world. We're blessed to be a blessing. You don't have to have a pastor to dispense blessing. Every single one of you is called and empowered to proclaim blessing. But we so seldom do that. We can never hear often enough those words, though. Blessed are you. So I'd like to ask us to practice proclaiming God's blessing to one another. I'm going to ask you to turn to your neighbors around you and to raise your hand in blessing to them. And I want you to say those simple words, blessed are you. And then turn around and do the same thing again. Because I don't want one person in this room to leave today without hearing those words, blessed are you. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. You know, one of the greatest delights and blessings of serving as your pastor has been either sitting or standing here at the front and hearing your beautiful singing. On the handout that the ushers gave you, there's a song printed, one that those who've been around have sung before. And I hope that as we sing, that these will be the words that are imprinted on your heart as you go. And I'll sing it through, and then I will ask the right side of the assembly to sing through, and then I will ask the other side of the assembly to join in after the first line. And it goes like this. What does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require of you? Justice, kindness, walk humbly with your God. To seek justice and love kindness and walk humbly with your God. What does the Lord require of you? 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 Justice and love.
love kindness and walk humbly with your God. What does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require of you? Does this kindness walk humbly with your God to seek justice and love kindness and walk humbly?
Thank you, Pastor Keith, for everything. Emmanuel Lutheran Church is located at the corner of Sherman and Lake in downtown Evanston. Come visit us. We have the indoor farmers market in the wintertime, a warming center on Fridays, and our weekly service each Sunday at 10:30. Thanks for listening.